Welcome back. I concluded the last episode with a brief passage from the children's book The Little Prince and should have credited its author, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. It is a delightful, insightful book that I believe proves C.S. Lewis's point that, quote, no book is really worth reading at the age of 10, which is not equally and often far more worth reading at the age of 50 and beyond, end quote. It is a sweet book for all ages. Here's a thought from Emerson to kick off this episode, quote, what you are is God's gift to you. What you do with yourself is your gift to God, end quote. I referred in an earlier episode to the following New Testament scripture, but want to repeat it now to set the stage. In John chapter 7, it's recorded that the Savior went into the temple and taught, quote, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself, end quote. One of the best ways of knowing whether something is true is to try it, to live by those principles and observe their effect on your life. This involves a certain amount of reason and maturity. You don't have to experiment with drugs, for example, to know of their harmful effect. When it comes to finding God, however, there is a widely accepted body of rules or guidelines attributed to God that, when lived, help in confirming that he exists. Referring again to President McKay, quote, the testimony that this work is divine had not come through manifestation, great and glorious as it was, but through obedience to God's will, in harmony with Christ's promise, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Test it from any source you wish, and you will find that there is not one phase of the gospel of Jesus Christ which will not stand that test. And in your weakness, if you will undertake to embrace the principles of life everlasting, you will find it instilling upon your soul a benediction of the Holy Ghost, which will give you a testimony beyond any possibility of doubt that God lives, that he is indeed our Father. End quote. Moroni taught that faith is things which are hoped for and not seen. Wherefore, dispute not because ye see not, for ye receive no witness until after the trial of your faith. Elder Richard G. Scott expounded on that challenge. He said, quote, that means that you must practice the truth or principle you have faith in. As you live it consistently, there will come a witness of its truthfulness through the power of the Holy Ghost. It is often a feeling of peace. It could be a stirring within you. It might be evidenced by opening doors to other truths. As you patiently look for a confirmation, it will come. Recognize that the Lord will give you the capacity to understand and prove through personal experience the truthfulness of his teachings. He will confirm the certainty that his laws will produce the promised results when obeyed willingly and consistently. End quote. Note as well these thoughts from Elder Angel Labrea, how gaining a testimony is tied to taking action or to living gospel principles. Quote, testimonies often come when there is a willingness to serve where we are called. They come when a decision is made to strive to be obedient. Testimonies come during efforts to help lift and strengthen others. They come from prayer and from studying the scriptures and applying them in our lives. Whatever our circumstances, there seem to be moments in each of our lives when we can be given the knowledge that God lives and that Jesus is the Christ. There is no greater search in life that we can embark upon than the quest to gain testimony of the truth. End quote. And Brigham Young once said that everything that is said or done under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit carries with it the witness of its authenticity. The challenge to take action before we know something for sure may be frustrating to some. Our tendency is to say, give me an answer first, and then I'll do whatever you ask of me. The Lord is asking us to do the reverse. First, follow his will, and then we'll know if the doctrine is true or made up. This comes back to the importance of gaining and deepening the gift of faith, which we explored earlier. One important thing to keep in mind as you exercise your faith to live gospel principles is that God doesn't make up commandments to make our lives miserable or more difficult. In fact, it is just the opposite. He gives us commandments and guidelines because of his perfect love for us and his knowledge of what will make us truly happy and productive in this life. Elder Ballard used this interesting example, quote, God expresses his love for us by providing the guidance we need to progress and reach our potential. Perhaps a simple story will illustrate this point. Recently, a young man purchased a used computer but could not get it to work properly. Soon he became discouraged, his temper grew short, and he threatened the inanimate object with painful destruction unless its performance improved. A wise father intervened and they obtained an instruction manual. After all, who would know more about a complex computer than the person or company that created it? Who would know most about its capacity and potential? Who would better know the safeguards required to avoid damaging or ruining this fine instrument? Soon the boy enjoyed the full potential of his computer by working within the guidelines given in the instruction book provided by its creator. Likewise in our lives, he who knows most about us, our potential, and our eternal possibilities has given us divine counsel and commandments in his instruction manuals, the Holy Scriptures. When we understand and follow these instructions, our lives have purpose and meaning. We learn that our Maker loves us and desires our happiness. End quote. I add my witness from firsthand experience that gospel principles are revealed from God because He loves us and wants us to have joy. As you do your best to exercise your faith in God and His revealed truths, that faith can become knowledge over time. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis, who wrote of the importance of living a certain way to get closer to God. Quote, "There is no other way to the happiness for which we were made. Good things as well as bad, you know, are caught by a kind of infection. If you want to get warm, you must stand near the fire. If you want to be wet, you must get into the water. If you want joy, power, peace, eternal life, you must get close to or even into the thing that has them. They're not sort of prizes which God could, if He chose, just hand out to anyone. They are a great fountain of energy and beauty spurting up from the very center of reality. If you are close to it, the spray will wet you. If you're not, you will remain dry. Once a man is united to God, how could he not live forever? Once a man is separated from God, what can he do but wither and die?" End quote. As you exercise faith in taking these steps, answers will come and you will know the truthfulness of these things. Elder Boyd K. Packer said this, quote, "There is a power of communication as real and tangible as electricity. Man has devised the means to send images and sound through the air to be caught on an antenna and reproduced and heard and seen. This other communication may be likened to that, save it be a million times more powerful, and the witness it brings is always the truth. There is a process by which pure intelligence can flow, by which we can come to know of a surety, nothing doubting." End quote. We've outlined the basic steps to come to know that God exists: having the desire, studying and pondering God's word, speaking directly with Him through sincere, honest prayer, being open to and acting on answers that will come in different forms, and finally putting God's word to the test and living accordingly. In your search for the truth, here are a couple other suggestions that might be helpful. I alluded to this earlier, but be patient. Remember President McKay's experience. He didn't receive his answer, a personal confirmation from Father, for several years, and yet within 10 years of receiving his testimony, he had grown so much in his understanding that he was called to be an apostle, a special witness of the Savior. Quoting President McKay, "An answer did come, but not in the way I anticipated. Even the manifestation of God's power and the presence of His angels came. But when it did come, it was simply a confirmation. It was not a testimony. It is not imagination that we can approach God and receive light and guidance from Him, and that our minds will be enlightened and our souls thrilled by His Spirit." End quote. I would highlight President McKay's comment that even the presence of angels was only a confirmation of the knowledge he'd received through the Spirit. That's how real answers can be from God as we continually seek Him. If being patient for a period of time seems discouraging, I want to repeat a quote I've shared with you twice before from Elder Boyd K. Packer. I quote, "It is when a lifetime is quietly committed with sincerity and humility that one can know for sure. Many elements of truth come only after a lifetime of preparation. A testimony of them, however, can come very quickly. Do not belittle the possibility that many humble folk, young and old, possess such a testimony. Many possess a testimony that transcends the knowledge to be gained in academic and scientific fields. When a humble man bears testimony based on spiritual inquiry and righteous living, be careful before you repudiate his witness because he is otherwise unlearned." End quote. An answer from God can come rather quickly, and the process of finding Him can be a joyous one, not an arduous one, especially as you recognize and delight in the evidence around you, gain insights and light, and as you feel His promptings that you are on the right path. As you receive those initial answers, you must then stay the course through a lifetime of study, commitment, and living the gospel to deepen and strengthen that knowledge and your relationship with Him. I once saw a poster which read, "The Lord may not always come when you expect Him, but He will always be on time." Because of our need to develop spiritual traits, including faith and patience, we each receive answers at different times and in the Lord's way. Trust in that process. Promptings and positive impressions will let you know along the way that you are on the right path. And remember, too, that the answer itself will be worth every bit of time and energy invested. Elder Neil A. Maxwell sums up the importance of patience with this interesting thought, quote, "When we are unduly impatient with an omniscient God's timing, we really are suggesting that we know what's best. Strange, isn't it? We who wear wristwatches seek to counsel Him who oversees cosmic clocks and calendars," end quote. Let's trust the Supreme Father's wise and loving timing for us. My second suggestion is that in addition to reading and pondering the Scriptures, read and study testimonies of the modern-day prophets. God called them as special witnesses for many reasons, one of which is to testify of His reality. One valuable source I used while outlining this podcast was the Church Online Gospel Library. If you're interested, go to churchofjesuschrist.org. From there, click on Gospel Library, and from there you can search topics such as Finding God, Knowing God, God the Father, Testimony, etc. There are numerous talks, many of which I've quoted throughout this series, that you might find helpful. One of my favorites is a conference talk by Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles called The Grandeur of God, from General Conference, October 2003. In his comments, Elder Holland addresses not only the reality of God, but helps us better understand His perfect character and attributes, which we'll start to dive into in my next series of podcasts. It is a beautiful, powerful talk about God our Father that would be well worth reading or watching in its entirety. And whether it's that particular talk or others, taking time to read, watch, or listen to talks from special ordained witnesses while you are searching will add to your knowledge base, as well as the spiritual impressions you'll receive, and it'll help you focus on and ponder these matters during this important time. The rest, of course, is up to you. Now, along those lines of listening to special witnesses, as we bring this series to a close, I'd like to share a few more of these leaders' testimonies to consider. From President Spencer W. Kimball, quote, "God, our Heavenly Father, lives. That is an absolute truth. His Son lives. I am so sure of this that I'm willing to bear witness of it with the last effort of my tongue and lips. I'm willing to go into eternity and face my God with this testimony on my lips. Of these truths, I bear witness," end quote. Our current prophet, Elder Russell M. Nelson, when he was a member of the Quorum of the Twelve, said this, quote, "I testify that the earth and all life upon it are of divine origin. The creation did not happen by chance. It did not come out of nothing. And human minds and hands able to build buildings or create computers are not accidental. It is God who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people. The creation itself testifies of a creator. We cannot disregard the divine in the creation. Without our grateful awareness of God's hand in the creation, we would be just as oblivious to our provider as our goldfish swimming in a bowl. With deep gratitude, we echo the words of the psalmist who said, O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. I testify that God lives. Jesus is the Christ and Creator. He is Lord over all the earth." End quote. I conclude this series on a personal note, though I hope this has felt personal all along. There's just so much animosity in the world today, especially online. People get angry and defensive so quickly, and we seem to have lost our ability to have civil discourse when we have differences of opinion. One of my favorite quotes from Thomas Jefferson is that he, quote, "never considered a difference of opinion in politics, in religion, in philosophy, as cause for withdrawing from a friend," end quote. I believe that is the true spirit of how God would want us to discuss and explore these things together, even when, or especially when, we disagree. With all the angry noise out there, I'd encourage you to stay centered, to remain, as it were, in your own space, to keep a quiet, curious, open mind as you sort through it all, and to always come from love and understanding. We don't have to join in the ugliness. When it comes down to it, finding or getting closer to God has nothing to do with who's the loudest or angriest. It also ultimately doesn't matter if people around you, even loved ones, have lived the gospel and been great examples, or if, on the other hand, they've abused Christ's teachings and been terrible examples. It doesn't matter if organized religion has been a blessing in your life or if you feel you've been wronged by your exposure to it. And it doesn't even matter if you've enjoyed this recording or hated it and found all kinds of faults. I know I make plenty of mistakes. What it comes down to is your relationship with God, your Father. Everything else can be sorted out in partnership with Him. Ultimately, I can only speak for myself when I say that I know there's a God. And I do believe with all my heart that it is a knowledge and experience that can be had by all, because we are all His children. Finding that there is a God and knowing that He reaches out to us when we diligently seek Him is one of the greatest discoveries we can make. But know that if we happen to know each other already or meet sometime down the road, that whether you accept or believe that in no way impacts my respect for you and your beliefs. In short, this is for you to find out personally. I hope that we won't join in the anger and judgment that is all around us and either agree or agree to disagree with love, civility, and respect. My conviction is that once you know that there's a God, as you continue to search and pray, and as you act on the promptings you receive, additional truths will be revealed which will strengthen your relationship with Him. To be able to seek God's perfect wisdom and guidance throughout our lives is one of the greatest blessings we can have. It is the key to learning other great truths, including understanding Christ's mission and atonement, the role of prophets, including modern-day prophets, the certainty of life after death, the plan of salvation, and in fact, answers to just about everything we face in this life. Peace, guidance, strength, and purpose will attend you. I am a witness that God is real. He is there for the finding. He knows and loves each of His children. I end this section on finding God with this beautiful promise from D&C 88, quote, "Therefore, sanctify yourselves that your minds become single to God, and the days will come that you shall see Him. For He will unveil His face unto you, and it shall be in His own time, and in His own way, and according to His own will." End quote. In the next series, Having Found God, we will begin to know God, how to create and strengthen a personal relationship with Him and with our Savior. Thank you so much for listening.